You'll hear part of an interview with two environmentalists, Carol Jones and James Wilson, who are talking about an approach to conservation called rewilding and damaged environments. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part 3.
I'm talking to Carol Jones and James Wilson, environmentalists working with damaged environments. Carol, you're in favour of rewilding to deal with damaged ecosystems. For our listeners, rewilding is a large-scale approach to conservation which aims to restore and protect natural processes in wilderness areas. Tell us why you're in favour of this.
Rewilding involves both the reintroduction of key species that may have been lost due to eco damage and also the eradication of species that are not naturally found in an area. I often explain it to non-specialists as returning an environment to its natural state. Rewilding allows the original types of animals and plants to find food and flourish.
James, you have a different view.
Rewilding has its place, but I'd rather support alien species than get rid of them. By alien, I mean species not native to the area they're living in. On the whole, alien species are good for the environment. They usually increase biodiversity and don't often cause extinctions, because they're to do with the environment's own response to the damage people have done. They tend to be more resilient than native species, so prosper more easily, whether it's in soils that have been made salty or forests that have been cut down.
You've produced a report identifying places where native species once lived. Why was that, Carol?
People think they know about species that lived in Britain, like beavers and wolves, but imagine this was thousands of years ago, whereas actually the last wolf was killed in the 17th century. It seems unbelievable that elephants, hippo, even lions, once lived here, but bones found in London prove it. Armed with this information, we could bring some back. Maybe not elephants, but other wildlife. The idea appeals not only because it could reverse destruction caused by humans, but also because it seems rather magical.
In terms of conservation work, do you think we should look to the past?
Yes, it's essential to study the past to understand today's ecosystems. I don't see rewilding as backward-looking. The ecosystems that would emerge on rewilded land wouldn't be identical to those that were there before, partly because we've irredeemably lost a lot of species. And of course, most scientists think the physical environment has changed through things like climate change, whatever its cause. We've learned that there can't be a fixed ecosystem or group of species.
There really isn't a native ecosystem anywhere. And if there is, it's been messed up by humans. But I think it's the wrong way to look at ecosystems. They're constantly evolving. Species are moving in and out all the time. So the whole idea of a stable, natural ecosystem is a misunderstanding of nature. It's not as fragile as we often think.
Does rewilding have to be an organised, large-scale response to damaged ecosystems?
I don't think there's one right way of rewilding. There are many, like introducing wildlife corridors, you know, pathways that connect wildlife areas. You see, the biggest problem many species face is what scientists call habitat fragmentation. We've built over areas where previously animals moved around looking for food. everyone can help with this. I'd like to see people who have individual gardens joining them up to create these wildlife corridors, which could mean planting native trees to create a continuous run from one garden to another, linking them up with existing patches of forest. Species which otherwise wouldn't be able to enter that area could then pass through and use that as their habitat.
People have different attitudes to environmental problems. How do you feel about that?
There are undoubtedly occasions where alien species cause a short-term problem for nature and humans, like weeds on farms. On the whole, though, such things are only inconvenient for people economically. But sadly, people can't see beyond that. Where alien species have caused actual harm, it's usually because humans have already messed up the environment, like the water hyacinth, which is clogging up ponds and rivers in some countries. But the plants only do that because the water's already been polluted by sewage and other things.
So how do you both feel about the future?
Now you'll hear part three again.
I'm talking to Carol Jones and James Wilson, environmentalists working with damaged environments. Carol, you're in favour of rewilding to deal with damaged ecosystems. For our listeners, rewilding is a large-scale approach to conservation which aims to restore and protect natural processes in wilderness areas. Tell us why you're in favour of this.
Rewilding involves both the reintroduction of key species that may have been lost due to eco-damage and also the eradication of species that are not naturally found in an area. I often explain it to non-specialists as returning an environment to its natural state. Rewilding allows the original types of animals and plants to find food and flourish.
James, you have a different view.
Rewilding has its place, but I'd rather support alien species than get rid of them. By alien, I mean species not native to the area they're living in. On the whole, alien species are good for the environment. They usually increase biodiversity and don't often cause extinctions, because they're to do with the environment's own response to the damage people have done. They tend to be more resilient than native species, so prosper more easily, whether it's in soils that have been made salty or forests that have been cut down.
You've produced a report identifying places where native species once lived. Why was that, Carol?
People think they know about species that lived in Britain, like beavers and wolves, but imagine this was thousands of years ago, whereas actually the last wolf was killed in the 17th century. It seems unbelievable that elephants, hippo, even lions, once lived here, but bones found in London prove it. Armed with this information, we could bring some back. Maybe not elephants, but other wildlife. The idea appeals not only because it could reverse destruction caused by humans, but also because it seems rather magical.
In terms of conservation work, do you think we should look to the past?
Yes, it's essential to study the past to understand today's ecosystems. I don't see rewilding as backward-looking. The ecosystems that would emerge on rewilded land wouldn't be identical to those that were there before, partly because we've irredeemably lost a lot of species. And of course, most scientists think the physical environment has changed through things like climate change, whatever its cause. We've learned that there can't be a fixed ecosystem or group of species.
There really isn't a native ecosystem anywhere. And if there is, it's been messed up by humans. But I think it's the wrong way to look at ecosystems. They're constantly evolving. Species are moving in and out all the time. So the whole idea of a stable, natural ecosystem is a misunderstanding of nature. It's not as fragile as we often think.
Does rewilding have to be an organised, large-scale response to damaged ecosystems?
I don't think there's one right way of rewilding. There are many, like introducing wildlife corridors, you know, pathways that connect wildlife areas. You see, the biggest problem many species face is what scientists call habitat fragmentation. We've built over areas where previously animals moved around looking for food. Everyone can help with this. I'd like to see people who have individual gardens joining them up to create these wildlife corridors, which could mean planting native trees to create a continuous run from one garden to another, linking them up with existing patches of forest. Species which otherwise wouldn't be able to enter that area could then pass through and use that as their habitat. People have different attitudes to environmental problems. How do you feel about that?
There are undoubtedly occasions where alien species cause a short-term problem for nature and humans, like weeds on farms. On the whole, though, such things are only inconvenient for people economically. But sadly, people can't see beyond that. Where alien species have caused actual harm, it's usually because humans have already messed up the environment, like the water hyacinth, which is clogging up ponds and rivers in some countries. But the plants only do that because the water's already been polluted by sewage and other things.
So how do you both feel about the future?
That's the end of part three. Now turn to part four.